Translation: when Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, "I am not a thief, you are a thief." Sometimes, being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses. But now, our dear friend Yashoda, this expert thief, is sitting before you like a very good boy. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes fearful, so that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Krishna's business in the neighborhood was not only to steal, but sometimes to pass stool and urine in a neat, clean house. When caught by the master of the house, Krishna would chastise him, saying, "You are a thief." Aside from being a thief in his childhood affairs, Krishna acted as an expert thief when he was young, by attracting young girls and enjoying them in the rasa dance. This is Krishna's business. He is also violent, as the killer of many demons. Although mundane people lack nonviolent and other such brilliant qualities, God, the absolute truth, being always the same, is good in any activities, even so-called immoral activities like stealing, killing, and violence. Krishna is always pure, and he is always the supreme absolute truth. Krishna may do anything supposedly abominable in material life, yet still he is attractive. Therefore, his name is Krishna, meaning all attractive. This is the platform on which transcendental loving affairs and service are exchanged. Because of the features of Krishna's face, the mothers were so attracted that they could not chastise him. Instead of chastising him, they smiled and enjoyed hearing of Krishna's activities. Thus the gopis remained satisfied, and Krishna enjoyed their happiness. Therefore, another name of Krishna is Gopi Janavallabha, because he invented such activities to please the gopis. When Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, "I'm not a thief, you are a thief." Sometimes, being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses. But now, our dear friend Yashoda, this expert thief is sitting before you like a very good boy. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes fearful, so that Mother Yashoda would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. Omagana Timanandasya Ganandana Shilakaya Chakshula Melitam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Dina Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunachananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is that for which we have come. This is why we are here. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant to give all human beings everywhere an opportunity to awaken their Siddha Deha, their eternal spiritual body. Everybody wants Ras. Ras means pleasure. Ras means happiness. In the material world, there is temporary flickering Ras. It is called Chapala Sukh. In the spiritual world, there is eternal Ras. Just imagine, we, all of us here, came from a family in this life. But our time with that family was short-lived. Where is my mother now? Gone. Where is my father now? Gone. Where are my aunties and uncles now? Gone. Where are my grandparents? Gone. And soon I'll be gone. We have no idea who's going to be sitting here 1 year from today, I promise you. You know, 1 year from today, you could be saying, ah, Raghunath, he was a nuisance. I'm glad he's gone. Can happen. Very easily happen. So our time and our families are, but just imagine a place where, you know, family is forever. If we think about the families we had in this world, we might be glad that maybe they're not around anymore. We're glad that that family wasn't forever. But in Krishna's world, in Vrajadham, that family is forever. Mother Yashoda is always there. Krishna is always there. You know, every year in the time of Damodar, we commemorate that pastime of Krishna breaking the butter pots and giving the butter to the monkeys, right? Krishna wants Mother Yashoda to let him suck her breast, so she's letting him suck her breast, and then the milk is boiling over, so she goes to take care of the milk, and Krishna gets angry. Any of us who have children, young children, or have had young children, can understand this to some extent. You know, my son, back in the day, he's an old man now too. He's 26. But you probably remember him when he used to run around here driving everybody crazy. He used to do things like that. You know, children, the way children are, they want your attention. And if they can't get your attention by behaving properly, they will get your attention by behaving improperly. It doesn't matter to them. Whatever they have to do to get your attention, they'll do it. Whether being good or being naughty, this is what the child will do. The child wants the mother's attention. The child wants the father's attention. In an ideal Vedic paradigm, both are there, mother and father, you know, and they nurture the child according to Krishna conscious Vedic principles. But nowadays, we have what's called the one parent family. Sometimes the father, you know, when there's a divorce, what happens? Maybe the father gets the child or the children. Maybe the mother gets the child or the children. Although there is something to be said for the one parent family, because sometimes children do better in an atmosphere that's peaceful, rather than in an atmosphere where two people are constantly at each other's throats, you know. And it can happen. Not in all cases, but it happens. You know? The boy meets girl, and they think, oh, this is very nice. Let's get together. Let's get married. Let's have a relationship. They're expecting sukh, but what do they get? Yud. They're looking for happiness, and what do they get? War. After a few months of marriage, there's a declaration of all-out war. Now, that's not true with everyone, you know. But in general, this is what's happening in the age of Kali. Because what's happening in the age of Kali? Quarrel. Quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky above all, always disturbed. So what do we want? Think about it for a minute. What do you want? What do I want? We want to love and be loved. We want somebody to come and throw their arms around us and say, you are okay the way you are. I don't want to change you. I don't want to move you around. I don't want to do anything with you. You are fine exactly as you are. Unfortunately, there's only one person who can do that to our satisfaction, and that's Krishna himself. Why does Krishna do these naughty things in Vrajadham? You know, he breaks the butter pots, gives the butter to the monkeys and all that. Because that's what the devotees in the Vatsalya Ras, that's what they want. That's what they're expecting from him. They're expecting him to be naughty. That's why they're in that ras in the first place. Because that's what they want to see. That's what they want their relationship with God to be. A naughty little boy. And he fulfills that desire way beyond their wildest expectations. Right? Every year when we celebrate Damodar Astakam, what do we hear? That Krishna drowned the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. Wouldn't we like to jump in? You know? But our time with our families and our children is very short. Next thing you know, it's gone. We are, we're wanderers. Brahmanda Brahmite, you know? Kona Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi. We wander. Not like Krishna. Krishna's always there with Mother Yashoda. That's eternal. But for us, we are bouncing like a ball. This family, then this family, this family, this family. Count them. 8,400,000 species. 8,400,000 different kinds of families you can have. It's our choice. You know? But Krishna and Mother Yashoda, they're always there. He's always breaking the pot. He's always giving the butter to the monkeys. He's always trying his best to drive her crazy. Why? Because that's what she wants. And when we have young children, when our children are very young, you know, they can get away with anything. They say young children and very old people, they can go wherever they want and do whatever they want and they can get away with it. Nobody gets upset, you know. So what happens? Krishna goes to the cleanest part of the house, Mother Yashoda's house. What does he do? He passes a stool. Yike! You know? I bet you our kids did that when they were young. You know? They wait till everything's clean. They're like, I can explain it. You know, they're the children, they're the best psychologists. They completely psych their parents out, you know. They know, this house was just cleaned. Now I'm going to mess it up just to get my parents going, just to wind up my mother and father, you know. Krishna has so many pastimes, right? Ananta Leela. What's Krishna's favorite pastime? Krishna's favorite pastime is pleasing his devotees. That's what he likes the best. He wants his devotees to be happy. That is his favorite pastime. Whether it's Madhurya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, Dasya Ras, it doesn't matter what Ras it is. Krishna's main business, his main pleasure, Krishna's main pleasure is to give pleasure to his pure devotees. And the pure devotee's main pleasure is to give pleasure to Krishna. So what does he do? He waits till everything is peaceful and then he starts, right? Break the butter, break the pots, give it to the monkey. In other words, he knows exactly what's going to disturb his mother. Kids are like that. They know what, they're very intelligent. They know what disturbs you. They know exactly what you don't want them to do. And that's exactly what they do. Because that's how they get your attention. You know? And like Krishna, what do kids do when you catch them out? They laugh. They smile, you know. And that melts your heart. And you want to embrace them. You know, you want to cuddle them and you want to kiss them. You know, although they're being naughty, what are you thinking? Oh, my son is so clever. My daughter is so clever. My children are so wonderful. They're tearing the house apart. Right? Right? But because they're your kids, you love it. You know, secretly, inwardly, you rejoice when you see this kind of thing because that's their reciprocation with you. As much as they want reciprocation with us, we want reciprocation with them. They want us to love them. They want us to give them attention. We want them to love us, and we want them to give us their attention. And when we ignore our children, they don't like it. And when they ignore us, we don't like it. So as parents, if anybody is a parent, or you remember when you were a child, we're constantly arranging circumstances to get the attention of the mother and father, or to get the attention of the child. And this is what Krishna is doing. And this is why this movement is here, so we can find out, who am I, where have I come from, where am I going? Am I Madhurya Ras? Am I Sakya Ras? Am I Vatsa? Remember Gopa Kumar. Gopa Kumar had to go all the way up through the whole planetary system, and he wasn't satisfied until finally he was with the Cowherd Boys. Then he knew, instinctively, yeah, this is where I belong. I'm in the Sakya Ras. You know? How does the spiritual body awaken? Prabhupada describes that in the Bhagavatam, Sodamani. Sodamani means lightning accompanied by illumination. Whenever there's lightning, right, there is simultaneously a flash of light. That's how the spiritual body awakens, like lightning, simultaneous lightning and illumination. Then we realize who we are. And if we're attracted to these pastimes, sometimes devotees say, oh, I like the Vatsalya Ras, Prabhu. Or I like the Sakya Ras, or I like the Madhurya Ras. We're just, you know, in spiritual life, we're just babies now. We don't know what we want. Not yet. It's gonna be a long time before we wake up in the morning and realize who we are, you know. But if we want to go to the spiritual world, that's the passport. That's the visa. If I want to go to another country, I have to have the proper visa and the proper passport. So the proper visa and the proper passport for going to the spiritual world is what? I have to know who I am. Must know. It's essential. Otherwise, I can't go there. You know? If I don't know, I'm Gopi, I'm Manjari, I'm Cowherd Boy, I'm Krishna's mother and father, whatever it is, how can I will never be admitted. And so this is very important for all of us because, you know, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Time is fleeting. You know, sometimes we forget really who we are, and we have this concocted idea that, you know, I'm a devotee. I live in England. You know, I'm a man. I'm a woman. You know, I chant this many rounds every day. I do this. I do that. I do this. I do that. All wrong. All completely wrong. That's all wrong. No. Gopi Bharta Kamalaya Dasanu 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 Das. We're not doing anything. Every inch of progress we make comes from them. Guru Gauri Vaishnava Parampara. In order to realize these, there's only one way to realize these pastimes. And Krishna says, Janma Karma Chamedhi Vyam Evyam Yoviti Tatvata Chakvadeham Punarjama Naiti Mameti Sorjana. One who understands, he uses the word understands, one who understands the nature of my appearance and activities, Chakvadeham, when he gives up this body, he won't come here again. What does he mean, understands? He means to realize. To realize it. And how do we realize anything in Krishna consciousness? Every morning the devotees are saying, the lotus feet of our spiritual master is the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. That is probably the most important prayer we say all day. Because that is the key to our success. You know? Recently I was reading a quote by Sri Gaura Govinda Maharaj. He was talking about, what's that? Harinam, Harinam, Hamarinam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gataranyata. Three Nastevas, right? Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way but what? Chanting the holy name. So he explains, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva means not by karma, not by gyan, and not by yoga. Each of those Nastevas refers to something very specific. Nasteva, not by karma. Nasteva, not by gyan. Nasteva, not by yoga. Anyabhi lashita shunyam gyanakamadhyanavritam. This platform of pure bhakti, spontaneous love for the Supreme Lord, can only be achieved, how? By the mercy of a Siddha Mahatma, a Siddha Purusha, a fully 100% realized devotee, somebody who knows their Siddha, they know their Ras, with Krishna in the spiritual world. They can give Krishna because Krishna is theirs to give. And this is why Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Instruction that the disciple had been to be very careful to only accept an uttam adhikari as guru, the topmost level of devotee. And what is the topmost level of devotee? Like Srila Prabhupada. Back in the day, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, they said, how many pure devotees are there on this planet? And Prabhupada said, I heard it. It's on an old, I don't know if it's been put on CD. I go back to the days of audio cassettes. And Prabhupada said, well, there are many, but not so many. He said, this is not a very intellectual question. He said, when you buy a ticket to fly on the airplane, do you ask them how many tickets they've sold? No. You buy your ticket, you get on the airplane, and you go to your destination. Prabhupada said, pure devotee? He said, why don't you become one? And what does that mean? It means it can be done. When Prabhupada said, why don't you become a pure devotee? What does that mean? It means it can be done. It can be done. Prabhupada said, I am one. Look what I have done. Just imagine what we could do if you all become just like me. You know, that's a mandate. That's an order from the spiritual master. Become pure devotee. Self-realization means, obviously, to realize the self, realize the soul. But that's just the ground floor. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na sochatina kankshati samasaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Brahma-bhuta. Prasanatma, fully joyful. Na sochatina kankshati, no hankering, no lamenting. Samasarveshu bhuteshu, equally disposed to all living entities. Mad bhaktim labhate param. Krishna says that's where real bhakti begins. It begins when you realize you're not that body. That is the beginning of pure devotional service. That's the beginning of pure bhakti. You know? But we're completely in illusion right now about our position. You know, we're thinking so many, there's so much things swirling around inside our head right now. You know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. Even within the realm of bhakti, we're thinking so many things. I'm the manager of this, I'm the book distributor, I'm the this, I'm the, you know. No! We're none of those things. You know? As much as we are not our body, we are also not our service. And as much as we are not our service, we are also not our ashram. No one is brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. What do those things mean? They're just different designations which define a transient mentality, which can change. Somebody may be brahmachari mentality today, and tomorrow, you know, they're in the fire with all the bananas and the grains, right? You know, getting cooked, right? Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with the Grihastha Ashram. You know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, seen the video. I'm cured. But anyway, that's another thing. But, you know, and we're not our service either. I am a pujari. No. Your mentality is being engaged in that way. I'm a book distributor. No. Your intelligence is being engaged in that way. Because that's what you need right now in order to come up to the next level. On our journey of spiritual life, that long, arduous journey, people come to us and people leave us. Sometimes we travel alone, sometimes we have traveling companions. And whoever comes to us on our journey, whoever associates with us on that journey, whoever that is or whoever they are, they're exactly who's meant to be there. And as long as they stay with us, that's exactly how long they're meant to be with us. A certain specified period of time. They come to teach us something and to learn something from us. Nobody comes to our life by accident. You know, it's not an accident that we're at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. Why are we not in, you know, Frankfurt, Germany, ISKCON right now? Because that's not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be right here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor in Hertfordshire, England. If we were meant to be somewhere else, we'd be somewhere else. When I first came to this country, I started out at Soho Street. And after 3 years, Krishna uprooted me and dropped me over here. And some people aren't too happy about that, but, you know, that's how Krishna works. You know? So, no accidents, no mistakes. I had a real, boy. Krishna really knows how to grab you by the neck, back of your neck and stick your face in the mud, you know? I'm leading up to the fact, you see, I'm a Philadelphia lawyer. I'm from Philadelphia. Philadelphia lawyer means they build their case, you know, in a particular way. So, it sounds like I'm not talking about the topic, but I am. I'm leading up to it. I'm building my, you know, case against the prosecution. So, again, we like to hear these pastimes, right? But what we really want is to enter these pastimes. So to enter these pastimes, the first thing we have to do is get out of the bodily conception. Now, Krishna gave me a big boot, you know where, Friday evening, just passed. Friday and Saturday, I had to attend a conference, a training session for bus drivers all over the UK. And they pick certain groups, right? And it's all about customer care, sponsored by Transport for London. How to deal with unruly passengers and how to make your passengers have a better day and how to smile when they come in the bus and how to tolerate all their, you know, stuff and everything. So it started at 9 in the morning and it finished at 5 in the evening. So 5 o'clock, where was it? Blackfriars. You know Blackfriars? Blackfriars Tube Station, right? Everybody knows Blackfriars. So outside the Blackfriars Tube Station, there's a little wall that you can sit on, right? And it's very comfortable. You can sit there. Sometimes some homeless people come and sit there, whatever. So I come out of the conference. I'm heading for the tube station, and it's like people everywhere. You know, Friday night in London. You know what Friday night in London is? All the college kids are out there. All the university kids are out there. You know, they got money falling out of their pockets. They're all drunk, smoking and drinking. And I finally found a place to sit down in front of the tube station across the street from a pub, the Brandeis pub. The pub was packed. It was packed inside. These pubs usually have an outside garden. The outside garden was packed full of people, right? And I'm sitting there, and they told us we didn't have to attend the conference in our bus clothes. So I wore my old clothes, comfortable clothes, jeans, denim jacket, you know, and all that. I guess I looked like a biker or something, whatever. So I went inside the station and I said to the lady at the barrier, I said, how long is it going to be before the crowd dies down? She said, well, it was about 5:30. She said, well, probably around 7. I said, okay, I'll come back at 7. So I went outside and I sat on that little ledge outside Blackfriars Station. I was chanting my rounds, you know. So you know what chanting your rounds looks like to a non-devotee? It looks like some crazy person mumbling into a purse. You know, that's what it looks like. Imagine from across the street, this is what somebody sees. Wow. What are they going to think? You know, going to think, who's this crazy? So I'm sitting there, you know, I'm chanting in my old clothes. This as well, my beard. And I'm feeling, you know, it's just, we always get caught off guard. Krishna always catches us off guard. And that's his business. He's supposed to do that. He's doing that for our benefit. I was sitting there chanting, thinking, oh, I'm so happy I'm not like these college kids. Look how degraded they are. All these university kids, drunk in the pub, chasing each other, wearing, you know, provocative clothing and trying to attract the opposite sex. Oh, I'm so happy I met Srila Prabhupada. I'm feeling so good. I'm so glad I'm chanting my rounds. Isn't this wonderful, you know? I'm not like them, you know, us and them. I'm not like them. At that moment, a young girl, about 21, approached me. She came out of the crowd. I didn't see her coming. And she didn't look like the rest of that lot, you know. She looked quite a bit different, a little mote of goodness. You know, over here in Radharani's bakery, when you buy some cakes, they put them in a little paper box, cardboard box, or any bakery. She comes over to me with a little Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki. She comes over to me with a paper box, and inside the paper box was one very large biscuit, you know. She comes over to me and she says, sir, would you like to have this biscuit? And all of a sudden, the penny dropped. Hey, man, you're homeless. She thinks you're homeless. She thinks you're a street person. And I never felt like that before. Nobody ever spoke to me like that before. Do you have any idea what that feels like when you got a big false ego like mine? You know, you got a huge false ego like mine. I'm a great devotee and blah, 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 you know. And all of a sudden somebody comes and says, hey, man, you're homeless. Here's a biscuit. You know? Wow. I wanted to crawl under a rock, you know? And then all of a sudden it occurred to me that on the material platform, no one is inferior and no one is superior. And all of a sudden my false ego just went down to nothing, you know? And I was sitting there. It took a long time for the realization. It was one of those realizations that, like, you know, it comes in, but it comes in stages, you know. It comes in stages and it's like, you know. I thought to myself, and there was a homeless man sitting right next to me. And these people are hardcore, you know, they sleep on doorways and they sleep on the pavements. This is the lot that lines up when Parashuram goes out with his food for all. They all line up. They all come out of their doorways. They come carrying their sleeping bags. They all look hard as nails, and they're waiting for their free food. All of a sudden, Krishna put me in that group. He put me right in that group. And I thought, this girl thinks I'm homeless. Now, my first reaction was to say to her, wait a minute. I'm not a homeless person, you know. I'm a devotee of Krishna, you know. But she, as fast as she came over with the biscuit, and I thought, this really takes the biscuit, as they say in this country, right? She comes over with the biscuit, as fast as she came over and gave me the biscuit, she was gone. You know, it was like, shh, would you like to have a biscuit, sir? I don't have the words to communicate that feeling. Just you try to access it if you can. You know, there you're sitting there, and somebody comes up and starts relating to you like you're a street person, you know? Then I thought to myself, ah, isn't Krishna kind? Lower than the straw in the street. There it was, staring me right in the face. Every day, you know, I, as a regular practice, I try to chant the Shikshastakam prayers every day without fail, Sanskrit and English. And every day, I'm reciting to myself, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tararapi Seshnana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. Here comes this girl with a biscuit in a box and says to me, you look like a street person. Here's a biscuit. I feel sorry for you. And I turned and I looked over at this homeless man sitting next to me and I thought, well, here's your brother, Rags. Then when the crowd finally, I haven't told you the best part yet. When the crowd finally died down, I went into the station. You know, I had to take the district from Blackfriars. If you want to go to Edgware Station, you got to take the district or the Circle Line to Embankment. And in Embankment, you get to Northern Line. That's where I had to go. So I get on the district line. It's only one or two stops. First stop is Temple. Temple, of course. First stop is Temple, and the next stop is Embankment. So as I'm holding on to the railing in the tube, a homeless man was walking through the carriages, begging for money. And he was the real deal. Hardcore. Just after that episode with the biscuit, he walked right behind me, some accent, foreign accent, I couldn't understand it. An older fellow, he could hardly walk, and he was asking people for money, you know. I didn't have any cash with me at the time. Otherwise, I would have given him something. And he was begging, and I thought to myself, you're looking in the mirror, Rags. You're looking in the mirror. For I am you, and what I see is me. When Prabhupada wrote that letter in Boston Harbor, how did he sign it? The most insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. We're all beggars. We are all homeless. You know, all of us. This is where we want to be. We want to be with Krishna in Brajadham. But we can only get there by the mercy of the pure devotee. I was watching those kids, you know, all those college kids, university kids, going back and forth, drinking beer and smoking and carrying on, acting crazy. And I thought to myself, now I understand the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now I understand how it works. Only by the association of a pure devotee can any of those people change their mind. And then I had to answer the call of nature. And the closest place was the pub. When I walked inside the pub, I felt like I was walking into hell. It's like wall-to-wall people, and I have to keep saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. That's very humbling as well. Excuse me, excuse me. Pardon me, mate, where's the toilet? Well, you go downstairs, and there was a big queue, so I had to wait in the queue, you know. All of a sudden, you know, it reminds me of when Srila Prabhupada first came to America, he was flying, where did he go? Dallas, Texas, right? And when he arrived in the airport, you know, all the newspaper people come and they want to try and take the Mickey out of the guru and all that. So they said to Srila Prabhupada, they said, aren't you a yogi? And Prabhupada said, yes. They said, don't you have mystic powers? Prabhupada said, yeah. They said, well, why did you come flying in on United Airlines and why did you not come in on a magic carpet? Prabhupada said, to be one among you. Who do we think we are, for God's sake? We're nothing. We are nothing, nothing, nothing. Even the biggest manager in ISKCON is nothing. I don't care who it is. We are nothing. We are das, anudas, 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 das, anudas, 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 millions and millions and millions of times removed. Unless we become to the point of nishta, what is it? Shraddha, sarasanga, bhajana kriya, nartha nivritti, nishta. Nishta means guru nishta. Guru nishta means what? That whatever the spiritual master will order, the disciple will do it without hesitation. The disciple may understand, he may not understand. He may like, he may not like. But he does it anyway. That is guru nishta. Why is that important? Because without nishta, there will be no ruchi. How do we get ruchi? How do we get that intense desire to hear about Krishna? The beginning of prem. Actually, that whole ladder is about prem, really. Even from Shraddha. Little snippets of prema, you know. How do we climb that ladder? Only by the mercy of them. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. We mentioned this once before. Prabhupada's books are his voice, He didn't write these books. He dictated these books. When we read Prabhupada's books, we are hearing his voice. And the voice of the pure devotee is none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Prabhupada's books are Krishna. They're not about Krishna. They are Krishna. That's why Prabhupada said, one who becomes Krishna conscious will see Krishna directly in the pages. Those are his exact words. You will see Krishna directly in the pages. Why? What are these pages? It is the voice of Prabhupada himself. Krishna's microphone in the material world. That's the glory of the pure devotee. And make no mistake about it, Srila Prabhupada is as much present with us now as he was when he was walking amongst us. When Srila Prabhupada left, when he went into the avyakta stage, invisible. Invisible does not mean non-existent. It means there's something is still there, you just can't see it. When we come to the temple, we feel an intensity here. What are we feeling when we come to the temple? We're feeling the presence of Krishna and his pure devotee, and they're reciprocating with each other. That's what that atmosphere of the temple is. You know, many people come here and they think it's a social club. Well, I'll go to a class. If I don't like that, I'll have some prasad. If I don't like that, I'll talk to my friends. Blah, 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 you know. But it's not a big social club. There's only one reality. One. I promise you, one and only one reality. Bhagavan, Bhakta, and Bhakti. That's it. Outside of Bhagavan, Bhakta, and Bhakti, there is no reality. Just different grades of illusion. Different kinds of sense gratification and mental speculation. Bhagavan, Bhakta, and Bhakti. That is our reality. There's no reality outside of that. None. Here we see Krishna's personal feature. Outside that gate, that's his impersonal feature. And both are very powerful. And both are very attractive. Krishna's personal feature and impersonal feature are very attractive. Now we have to decide which one we want to meditate on. So, we're all naughty children here in the material world, trying to get each other's attention. But what we should be doing, could be doing, is trying to get the attention of Krishna and his pure devotee. And that's the secret of our success. That's how we go, Chakshvadeham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjana. When Krishna comes, hardly anyone knows who he is. Only a few. But Krishna says, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and disappearance, chatvadeham punarjanma, naiti mamiti sorjana, they don't come back here again. Understands means realized. How do we realize the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance? We realize it from someone who has realized it. And that's Krishna's pure devotee. We owe Srila Prabhupada a debt we can never, never, never repay. You know what Prabhupada said? You probably read it. He said, if you at all want to repay me, then you preach vigorously like me. And that means so many things. Not just talking. It means distributing books. It means anything we can do to attract someone's attention to Krishna. That's preaching. The girl who gave me the biscuit got some Agata Sukriti by giving a gift, giving in charity to a devotee. At the right time, right place, right circumstance. And it was a big lesson for me, too. I'm just a homeless person wandering in the streets of the material world. Okay, stop there.